Good evening. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. You know, I know I draw a lot of encouragement from this table, and I'm just especially grateful that God does have it set up this way. And, you know, I really do encourage you guys to be here Lord's Day mornings for the class when Kevin goes over the foreshadows from the tabernacle. That is a great study. And if God didn't know that His church was going to need this table, then, you know, He wouldn't have put those things in there, in that table of showbread, to be a foreshadow for things in the spiritual and in His church. So I know that I'm greatly encouraged by that. We're going to read verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Let's pray. Dear Father, eternal King, the one who is and has always been, there are no other gods besides you. Lord, that's something to think about. Lord, you created this universe, and you created one with billions of galaxies to communicate your might. Lord, and you are that God, and we have communication with you in the power and prayer. And I'm just so encouraged by these things that you continue communicate to us through your words, that you do have the Lord's Supper. And you have this set up in a way that if we draw near to it with confidence in the right mind and an understanding of your Scripture, it does have power in it. Lord, I'm appreciative for the opportunity to be up here to exhort brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray that first and foremost you receive the glory, and as a byproduct from that, that the saints here would be encouraged. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. This is going to be a message on encouragement. And I walked in the back door and, you know, Brad stuck out his hand. Don't do a bad job. Thanks, Brad. That's encouraging. Now, if you know Brad, he's one of the most encouraging guys you'll meet. So that's not a stab. But this is a message on encouragement, and I just want to let you know, it's not because I profess to be a teacher of encouragement or I am always an example of encouragement. I wanted to speak to you on encouragement today because of the encouragement that I've learned from you. And in Proverbs 12 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. How great is a good word? Can you guys think of that particular conversation or that particular person that, you know, took that scenario that you were in and really just kind of helped turn it around for you? And maybe if it's a person, that's somebody who does that for you continually. And I know for me that's a particular person. And this person continually encourages me because they took an interest in me. But you see, if you can think about this particular example or this particular person, the thing that they didn't change was your circumstances. What they changed was your perspective. Okay? They instilled the courage in you to determine how you can conquer your problem or your scenario. And that's what it means to encourage. Anxiety isn't something scripturally that should weigh us down. You know, Scripture says that today has enough anxiety for itself for us to be heaping in any more on top of it. And, you know, I just want to open with, if there are worldly anxieties that consume you, and they consume me, the question I want to ask myself is, what on this world could be more important than people perishing outside of Jesus Christ? So if the body isn't functioning to save the perishing, that's something to hang anxiety over. That's something to toil over. And the body has to encourage every member to be a part of that function and their role. By the way, in that role is being entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Now that's a big deal. Because God created the world and said, I'm going to create a people that are going to follow me, and I'm going to have a fellowship with them. And then he has foresight and he sends Jesus to establish his church so through him he can reconcile mankind back to himself. And that's the message that the church has been entrusted with. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may have one voice. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. So I want to talk about 3 points tonight about how we can encourage one another. And this passage here really hit me when I was putting this together. It says, for Christ did not please himself. May the God of encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God, welcoming each other for the glory of God. We are in this together. And we can encourage each other in 3 ways. By our exhortation, by our example, and by our environment. So the first one we have is by our exhortation. And the word encourage literally means to input courage. Encourage. To inspire courage. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 is going to say, but exhort one another every day. Okay, I just did a study earlier this week on encouragement with some people online, and Lucas Necessary asked the question right out of the gate, when should we encourage? I think all 7 of us in the beginning said, always. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today. It is from new moon to new moon. Every day is called today. That is at all times. So that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's a tough world out there. This exhortation, this input of encouragement has got to be daily. The second one is to stimulate by assistance. Our example. And we'll look at Acts 11 with Barnabas a little tonight. But that's a good example of Barnabas being somewhere and through his example stimulating a growth that had already begun. Okay? And then to promote or foster environment. Environments can promote or foster certain behaviors. They can encourage or discourage certain behaviors. And if we look at the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42... that is a very good example of how an environment can encourage great results. And because they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship and prayer, was why they were of one mind, was why they were selling everything, and that's why many were being converted. So that's going to be an example of how an environment can stimulate and encourage just by its environment. So, to instill courage. To exhort. It's the rah, rah, rah. You know, and I got a pretty good example. I went and did a CrossFit class with Micah Donahue on Bring a Friend Day. And I did it after my first boot camp class with Will Serrano. So, you know, I was dragging my behind in there Saturday morning. And it's legs day, and we had done legs the day before. And I'm telling you right now, 2 things. One, Micah Donahue is stronger than I am. He can lift way more than I can. So I was struggling as his partner. It was a partner workout, Bring a Friend Day. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, I would not have finished that workout if I did not have Micah standing right next to me going, go, go, go. And to be quite honest with you, and I don't know where he's at, I don't think I would have finished the warm-up, bro. I really don't. I mean, we're running laps and doing crunches, and this is the warm-up. And I'm like, oh, man, okay. So when I'm thinking about encouragement individually from one person to the next, the first thing that I think of is it has to be genuine. It has to be authentic. You know, maybe I heard through the grapevine that Micah told the CrossFit instructor that he thinks I'm weak. And he was making fun of me. Right? So now we're in partner exercises and we're lifting those weights and he's going, you can do it, you can do it. And I'm going, no, you don't. It's not authentic. It's not real. Our encouragement has got to be authentic. People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, and at certain times, depending on each of our personal characteristics, sometimes people need to be told that they're going to hell to repent. And if you walk up to someone and say, you're going to hell, and they don't think that you care about them, they're not going to receive that message. And sometimes that message alone isn't received with gladness, but it can be if they know deep down that you genuinely care about their soul. Okay? Our encouragement has got to be authentic. So people have to know that you care about them, or you're not going to be able to encourage them. I saw a quote one time that said, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people. And if someone in their life has classified you as a people talker, your ability to encourage them and your ability to save them if they're lost is going to be greatly inhibited. So it has to be authentic. You won't save what you don't love. You won't encourage what you don't love. If the lost are out there and you don't love them, you will not save them. If your brothers and sisters sitting here and you don't love them, you will not encourage them. So what are some examples for how we can encourage each other? How about just saying hi? How about talking to them? Some of the best ways I've been encouraged is watching people genuinely go out of their way to ask me how I'm doing. You know, got the people standing around watching them walk in and they're like, hey, hey, you know, they're just flying by, you know. And you go out in the world, man, and people want to be talked to, right? How about the people that you're talking to, and on the outside, it doesn't look like they're being encouraged? Are 100% of the people in this room or 100% of the people in the world naturally good at human interaction? No. I don't mean to pick on my dad, but, you know, he always told me growing up, I was good at working hard. That's all I did, you know? He's like, I never developed those people skills, you know? So he just stands in the back and smiles. That's where I get it from. Okay? But that doesn't mean that deep down inside, their inner man's not being encouraged. Okay? I know that when I first started assembling here, first day I walked in the door, Mike Ferguson. Hi, I'm Mike Ferguson. What's your name? That guy is super encouraging for me. Week two. Hey, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Mike Ferguson. You want to do a Bible study? Yeah! That's where I met Uncle Dave, Super Dave, and Dave Dobson. Dave Nolan. Study of Mike Ferguson's, because he sought me out and saw the new face. And that was encouraging for me. But seriously, investing your time to get to know people, like, people recognize that. They see that. You know, I know for me, Larry Miller is one of the most encouraging people to me. I mean, he's one of those guys that cares about what I'm doing. And he doesn't say, "How's work going?" Like, he's like, "How's work going?" And he's listening to me because he wants to know. That's really encouraging to me. How about just having a great attitude? How about just having a positive outlook? You know, I have a new job. I work in a coffee shop. And I work at 5 a.m. sometimes. And I'm a morning person. I learned this one the hard way. 5 a.m. "Hey, how are we doing?" That was discouraging to me. So I learned right out of the gate, you just don't talk to people in the morning. You just smile and you stand in the back. You know, it's encouraging to me when maybe my attitude's in the tank and someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, remember that spirit that's in you who's walked on in flesh before? It knows how to overcome. So why don't you get out of the way?" Changing perspective. And then a couple more, moving on. But the most important, always tell girls that you like their hair, and always tell guys, ask them if they've been working out. And I'm telling you, before I started training for the Spartan race, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, Nolan, you've been working out?" And I was like, "No." I went and bought a smaller shirt. It's been uphill ever since. Other times, kind of switch gears real quick, are there times you would ever want to discourage someone? You know, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on discourage, but, you know, if someone's losing the battle to temptation, someone's losing the battle with sin, you know, sometimes it takes you discouraging them before you can encourage them. We always want to encourage people to make good decisions. Sometimes we have to discourage them before they're willing to accept our encouragement. So I hope that makes sense, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 23. Moses is talking. "And I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, 'O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?'" That's a great prayer, you guys. That is a great prayer. "Please, let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country, and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, 'Enough from you. Do not speak of me to this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over to this Jordan.' But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall, that land that you shall see." So, one, you kind of pick up Moses is struggling with his attitude a little bit here. He's saying, "I'm being punished because of your wickedness, Israel." And that's why God is upset with him. How hard do you think that was for Moses to be an encouragement to Joshua? Are there people, are there circumstances that can make it hard to encourage other people? You know, the example I think of is maybe when other people are getting a lot of credit for something that you already do. Maybe it's something you've already conquered. You know, I had dinner with Kevin Simpson this week, and he promised me he was going to come up here this morning and lay an egg so I'd look good. And then he gets up here and preaches one of the best messages I've ever heard from him. If my attitude's not right, am I going to go up to him and say, "Bro, great job, praise God"? Are there circumstances that can make it difficult to encourage other people? I think this is probably a hard one for Moses. Let's go to the end of Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 34. Chapter 34. Starting in verse 8, Moses has died, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so that the people of Israel obeyed and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Catch the end of the story, we see he went through with it. This is a good place to segue into our next topic. You see, we can encourage people and lay our hands on them and individually encourage them. This morning, Kevin saying, Tyler and Marina, they're encouraging people. He knows that. I know that. Do all you know that? See, by him doing that, that's encouraging. And I'm sure it's encouraging for you guys. Tyler. But at the same time, through our example, and through the things we do directly and indirectly, we can encourage people. Second way we can encourage them is to stimulate by assistance, by our example. See, I'm sure a number of us at one time have gone out and bought a Bible and gave it to somebody who was interested in God's Word to encourage them to read the Bible. Now, although that is encouraging, it has an example in it as well. Through your example and through what you've done, it gives them a continual encouragement, and in this case, to read the Scriptures. Yes, Moses laid his hands on Joshua, and that was encouraging, but he did it in front of the entire assembly of Israel, so that they would know that this is the guy to follow. You know, this isn't the only way, but the best way we can encourage in people is by our example in this context. And in this study that I had online, there's a gal named Chelsea who just got immersed when we were all at family camp. And she got on there and she said, the most encouraging thing to me is when I see people walking the walk. And that was her answer. That was what was encouraging for her. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Then the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. You see, when Barnabas gets there, he's encouraged. Okay? And I'm sure that there were things that he directly was doing to encourage people, but you see, the work had begun. So when he's there, his example is what is encouraging. It says, and people were being added. These are babes in Christ. And they got Barnabas coming, and they've got something they can look at and say, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. That's the example that I want to follow. And that was encouraging. And it says, because of that, many were added. You know what's encouraging to me? That other people do by example? I'm encouraged by people who clean the building. And I'm pretty sure that the Schaefers are the ones that did it this week. Because I asked. I'm encouraged by the people who mow the lawn. I'm not sure if the lawn got mowed this week. I'm encouraged by people who give their time and work in the school. Guys, I'm really encouraged by you guys who show up to assembly. I'm really encouraged by people who have one-on-one Bible studies with people. And I'm really encouraged by people who smile. I'm encouraged by people who tithe. And I'm encouraged by people who sing loudly. It's encouraging. I'm encouraged by people who are honest. I'm encouraged by people who are humble. I'm extremely encouraged by people who obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice, all of these come with a price. Time. All of these take people investing their time. Kevin says, know Christ, know who you are, know your purpose. I already know what mine's going to be for the next 40 years. We do what we believe. We make time for what's important to us. Guys, and when people make their time for the Lord and for His work, that is encouraging to me. And when people tell me that they don't have time, I just say, okay. Okay. But I want you guys to see the difference here. See, there are things that we can do to encourage people directly. Go, go, go. Maybe change a perspective. And there's things that we do by our example that are encouraging. You know, one quick example of a discouraging example. And I don't like this example, but I hope that it communicates the message. When I became a Christian, and I think as many of us become Christians, we have the mindset of, I'm going to go save my friends. And that is not a bad thing. Because I want to keep being friends with them. But I want them to like the things that I like. Okay? So I said, I'm coming out tonight, but I'm not drinking beer. But I'll drive the car, I'll be the DD, and I'll be the guy drinking water. And the first time I did that, someone from the assembly who struggles with a drinking problem showed up. What if that had happened? This was years ago. What if that had happened now when I'm up here exhorting you guys and then I'm at the bar drinking water? See, what did that first verse in chapters 15 in Romans say? Those who are strong have an obligation to bear the burdens of the weak. I don't struggle with a drinking problem. I haven't drank in a long time. People do. And our example can be super discouraging. And we need to be sources of encouragement for the world. Man, the world, whether they believe it or they're going to tell you, are being discouraged. And when they're tired of being discouraged, they're going to look to those who are encouraging. There are people walking in darkness. There are people perishing. But until they are looking for the light, once they see it, they will be drawn to it. They've lived an entire life in darkness. It doesn't matter how tiny the glimpse of light that's coming in and shining, the second they capture that, they'll come running to it. But it's a matter of whether or not we've put ourselves in a position to be that light to the people who are discouraged and perishing. I don't listen to the radio, but there's a radio station called Mojo 92.5. And they're next door to City View where I work, and there's a guy named Scotty, and he is the 3-6 guy. And I like Scotty. And I try when it's slowing up and I'm allowed to talk to people, you know, I try to be encouraging to him. And he's one of those guys just right from the beginning, man, how you doing? What you doing? Well, one day he came in on his day off on a Saturday because he had to work. He's a little discouraged. How's your weekend? What you doing? Well, I gotta work. And I got more work to do when I get home. How about you, man? How about you? Man, it's been great. Why was it great? Well, yesterday I had a Bible study, and then I had another Bible study, and then I led a fellowship group, and it was great. And what he said was really encouraging to me is he said, Nolan, I pegged you for a spiritual man. And he said, I can't remember if he said praise God or if he said, you know, it's just really encouraging to know that there are people like you still out in the world. Okay, I don't know him all that well, but I don't know if he goes to church. I don't know if he believes in God, but he thinks I'm encouraging. So at some point when he's tired of being discouraged, I hope I put myself in a position to where I'm the person he's going to come ask the questions for. Okay? Lastly, to promote or foster by an environment. You guys, the easiest example, the assembly. And you guys, this meeting, midweek Bible study, you guys are super encouraging. This environment is an encouraging environment because people are sticking out their hands and they're saying, nice to meet you, and they're saying, how was your week? And they want to know how you're doing spiritually. The assembly doesn't exist without us. What church do you go to? You are the church. Assembly doesn't exist without us. So it's encouraging when you're here. Yeah, I don't know, when you guys were younger, I think when I put this note in here, I caught myself being guilty of it as of just recently. Remember when you were younger? Man, you know when my parents told me I had to stay home on a Friday, why did I think it was the last Friday I was ever going to get to go out? What? I mean, looking back, any Friday night spent on home in the couch is a blessing now. It's like, yeah. Oh! So it's Friday night, and you get to go out, and Billy Bob calls you up, hey, come on over! Who's there? You ever do that? Oh, see, this Friday night's a big deal. It's the last one you're ever going to have, and you don't want to waste it. Well, who's there? So I was going to pick on, you know, high school kids, but we all do that, have done that. It's because to a certain extent, the people that are there are what makes it. That's encouraging. When you guys are here, that's encouraging. I don't want to belittle the encouragement that we individually receive from the Assembly of the Saints, but I also want you to focus on the encouragement that you bring to others by being here. There is a world out there stomping you down. And there is a blessing in a midweek Wednesday night Bible study to recharge your batteries. That exists, and I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying, also remember, you're here to exhort. You're here so I can be encouraged. I'm here so you can be encouraged. This environment is meant to stimulate and to encourage to produce laborers for the harvest. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. To equip for the building of the work of service to achieve the unity of faith in order to grow. Building itself up in love. Guys, this environment is the sum of its parts. It is the sum of us individually encouraging other people, plus the examples that we set by giving our time to the things of God. There are people out there perishing. And they need the church. And they need the best version of her. They need the one that's been built up of the same mind in the unity of the faith. And that comes from encouragement. There is an example where environments can be discouraging. Okay, I mean, We'll go to John 12 real quick. That's the only problem with not doing this very often. I don't know how long I've been up here, so I don't know if I'm going short or long right now. John chapter 12, verse 35 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.'" Jesus is talking about himself. He goes on to talk about he withdraws because the people wouldn't believe, even though he performed many miracles, thus fulfilling a couple prophecies from Isaiah. And in verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, many even the authorities believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." That is an example of an environment that is discouraging. Because this environment is the sum of its parts, and this world is draining. And when I think about the pull on the world, I think as we grow as Christians and we get further and further away from our old man and our past, there is a rubber band that is there. And we feel every stretch as we get further and further away from that old man. As we grow in our faith and we believe more, that is what gives us the ability to withstand the pull. That is what keeps us from being snapped back to the old man. But you see, the thing that doesn't go away is the tension. This world, I'm 30. I'm young. This world is tugging on my soul. And sometimes we just need a glad word. Sometimes we just need someone to walk up to us and put their arm around us and say, "I appreciate you." You see, because people naturally question every good thing they hear about you, but accept without pause every negative thing they hear about you, without giving second thought to it. But I promise you, for every one thing that you disapprove about one person, there are 10 more that you appreciate. So tell them. Remind them. Encourage them. Because I'm going to say this again. We are in this together. God wants His people to build His kingdom. We need each other to do this. And we have got to be encouraged to work with one another by our exhortation, by our example, and by our environment. We're going to close in Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, becoming the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." I just want to encourage you guys as we close, that spirit that lives in us has lived in flesh before. And it did it perfect. And it humbled itself even to the point of death. Death on a cross. There is no reason why we cannot rise above discouragement. There is nothing, I'll get specific to the church, there is nothing that a brother or sister in Christ has done or is going to do that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cover. So let's encourage one another. Let's forgive one another as Christ has forgave us. Because guys, we are in this together. We've got to be of the same mind. Encouraging one another, so that we can save those who are perishing.